always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider, as well as lead Lakers content creator for Offside, joined on this super-duper special Saturday episode by you guys. Look, I'm not going to lie. The taste for Lakers content, Lakers coverage, rumors, reports, whispers, buzz, all of those things has been off the charts, so I figure we may as well ride this wave while we can. And today on the show, we're going to be talking about centers. That's all I ever talk about is centers. DeAndre Ayton is going to opt in. We've been assuming that this whole time here when I've been talking about offseason scenarios. Marcus Smart is apparently going to opt out. Also something that we've been talking about a ton here as well. So in terms of, you know, what the Lakers were prepping for heading into the summer, no surprises there. However, Smart's opt out and Houston's reported interest does complicate things just a little bit. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Today, a couple of tidbits have kind of dropped by way of the NBA rumor cycle. First, apparently, according to Jake Fisher, Nikola Jokic not signing his extension is apparently on the table. And I would imagine the outcome of this summer will go quite a ways in deciding how that situation plays out. So that's worth monitoring. Rob, don't get any ideas. Let's not kick the can again here. Right before I went live, we got a report that Jonathan Isaac has been waived, and then the Orlando Magic officially announced it a second ago. He is, always injured and yet still pretty damn talented. So he would be an interesting candidate there as well. And over the course of the show, you guys are going to leave questions and comments and stuff like that. And I will get to as many of those as I possibly can. As Brian Walters is saying, smash that like button. I would greatly appreciate it. Please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. And then turn on notifications for the show and for YouTube. And if you guys are listening to the show in the morning I'm going to try to edit and post this thing right away like I did or have been doing basically this offseason so far. Please subscribe wherever it is that you get your podcast, preferably on Odyssey, but they are all perfectly fine with me. Let's see. Also, today's show, as are all of our shows here on YouTube, is brought to you in part by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA and get $50 worth of free lineups on Prize Picks whenever you sign up. Use that promo code and then make a $5 lineup of your own. Let's go ahead and dive on in, starting with a couple of player options that are going in the direction that the Lakers thought they were going to go. Right at the onset of the summer, there was some noise that I didn't think made any sense, but there was some noise. It was like, Ayton might decide to opt out and see if he can get another year at roughly the same salary that he was getting last year. He outperformed his contract. Bill Duffy is a very powerful manager. He could try to use that leverage on the Lakers to get an extra year out of them. I thought that was really weird. I thought that would have been a really weird decision from Ayton, and didn't ignore it, didn't laugh at it out of hand, but did kind of question it a little bit. And then kept on asking, and then finally it kind of did kind of arch back the other direction where, you know, over the last week or so, we started hearing, okay, yeah, they tested the waters and the waters were real cold. And so DeAndre Ayton is expected to opt into that player option that he has, where he'll be paid a shade over $8 million. And frankly, perfectly fine number for DeAndre Ayton and makes him very tradable. Like I was talking with Pete and Jovan in our group text and for the Great Western Forum, which we got to record another episode of pretty soon. But I was talking with those guys and I was like, happy that we're getting this kind of an update right away. I'm sure the Lakers have known all along, but you know, it's kind of nice that we can now throw Ayton's $8-ish million into trades for centers who would start over him, right? Just in case he you know, the Lakers would be a little concerned that he wouldn't handle not starting very well. Just in case the team that would be trading the Lakers wants a center to kind of be a placeholder after they trade away the guy that the Lakers want. I can't think of any reason that this would be bad news, to be completely honest. And at the worst case scenario, right, you go into next season with DeAndre Ayton on your roster at an $8 million expiring contract, when this guy is, you know, probably in the lower end of the list, but is a bona fide starting caliber center making a very reasonable amount of money. Sure, there are very, you know, real questions about the head that sits on his shoulders, but like at the end of the day, this dude was very productive for the Lakers last year, had good playoff games for them last year. And I would say that, you know, for the Lakers, from the Lakers standpoint, this is a guy who they would be wise, I think, to, utilize one way or another, whether that's in trades or whether that's on their roster next season. So Ayton, I would anticipate, and I know the Lakers are hoping for him to be either a backup or involved in some kind of a trade, this summer for the A-list center they are looking for to appease Luka Doncic's request. Sorry, anytime my phone vibrates a few times in a row, I get a little nervous, but it's just Discord. Which, by the way, if you guys are interested in joining the Lakers Lounge Discord, I guess I could drop that link here in the comments as well. Or somebody who is in that Discord, drop that link and I would, and we can, you know, you can invite people that way. But yeah, the Ayton here is again, you know, a bit of news that surprised absolutely nobody. And ourselves included, if you guys have been watching the show every day, which if you have been, thank you. And now we get to kind of move on with some trade options with him, which, you know, if you combine, it's kind of ironic that it played out this way, but if you combine Ayton and Vando and Dalton, you actually arrive at roughly what Miles Turner makes. You also arrive at roughly what Cam Johnson makes, which is another interesting option here. But from the Lakers standpoint, if you basically turn those three guys into Miles Turner's salary, you add the center that you, or at least a center that you really, really need to add. And then you would still have all the flexibility that you currently hold, right? Especially if you choose to renounce LeBron and Rui Hachimura. In this event, right, I think the team that is most nervous about their guy being given a big, you know, offer sheet is probably Denver with Peyton Watson because of the tax situation there and Stan Kroenke's stance on paying the luxury tax. He doesn't want to. So, like, if you trade for Miles Turner and you do elect to pursue free agents You know, by way of LeBron James and Rui Hachimura's contracts coming off of the books, you could go and make the kind of offer to Denver that would really make them sweat. And at the very least, you know, could start a conversation with them about a trade for Cam Johnson or a trade for Aaron Gordon or, you know, Christian Brown, if that's somebody that the Lakers are interested in. But I think, you know, trading for Miles Turner kind of at the onset of the summer, you know, that gives you some real flexibility and at least partially checks the most critical box that the Lakers are trying to check. So I think that is a scenario that if the Lakers start to feel, and this is kind of the sense I'm getting, but if the Lakers start to feel like Kessler isn't an option or Jalen Duren isn't an option, I think they would circle back to Miles Turner, get that taken care of in shorter order, and then, you know, make a decision on LeBron and Rui also relatively soon, so that you have cap space that you could maybe re-sign Marcus Smart using after he opts out, and depending on the number that, you know, Houston comes calling with. So that's a you know, path that the Lakers could head down. You could also, by the way, talk about this path with a Daniel Gafford as well, or a Daniel Gafford or a PJ Washington, one of those kinds of players. If in fact the Lakers and Mavericks are doing business with each other again, we already saw them make trades on draft night. So maybe that page is turned and that bridge isn't completely burnt for the Lakers. So yeah, Ayton opts in. I would imagine his contract is going to be one that the Lakers look to utilize in trades very, you know, basically as soon as he is officially opted in, which, by the way, has to take place before, let's see, today is the 27th, tomorrow is the 28th, Monday is the 29th. That is when those guys, you know, who have player options have to make decisions on them officially. And when that happens, I would assume the Lakers will have already begun having conversations with teams on ways that they could utilize Ayton's contract if, in fact, they don't want him to be their center or their starting center again next season. All right. The next scenario here, or the next decision here that does kind of complicate things for the Lakers, is Marcus Smart. And it doesn't complicate things in the sense that they are blindsided by the eventual decision from Smart to likely opt out of that contract. No, it complicates things because this is somebody who was critical to their success on the court, was a key factor in their kind of team-wide culture off of the court last year. He is probably their only plus-level point of attack defender on the roster. They made a whole lot more sense when he starting last year and provided that point of attack the defense. And look, he's one of those guys who you just know, you know, if you're a playoff hopeful team, he's one of those guys who you just know is never going to be afraid of those situations and would likely even calm down the team in those situations, as they arise in the postseason. So Marcus Smart is somebody who the Lakers really, really, really want to bring back. Now they also are going to be careful about the number that they bring him back at. We will see if, like, Houston is willing to use their full mid-level exception on Marcus Smart, and what that would force the Lakers to maybe consider there. The Houston Rockets, obviously, last year signed Dorian Finney-Smith away from the Lakers, a move that they probably regret, given the way that played out. But yeah, this would be, you know, losing Marcus Smart would make it borderline impossible to have a successful offseason, because now you're talking about a major step back in a aspect of the game that you just do not have replacement level players on your roster with. You would then have to replace that while also taking a step forward with your center search. you would be doing all of that while you juggle the situations of LeBron James and Rui Hachimura. And it would just be honestly devastating to the culture that the Lakers built last year. He was a very big part of it. So this is somebody who I would expect the Lakers are going to work really, really hard to bring back. And not in, you know, whenever they bring him back, it wouldn't be like an immediate, all right, we can figure out a way to trade this guy. I think they would look to bring him back and add more point of attack defense. So we'll kind of see what comes of this situation here, but I just do not see a path or an avenue to a successful offseason that features losing Marcus Smart, and also, by the way, potentially losing LeBron James, and also, by the way, potentially losing Rui Hachimura. That is a lot of talent to walk out the door, and then, you know, that you would immediately have to, build out that group's production collectively, and then also find a way to get better. That's tricky, man. I just don't see it. The next one here that I wanted to talk about, the next situation here, isn't actually listed on the rundown. So I'm going somewhat out of order, but Jake Fisher, who is on Substack with Mark Stein on that Steinline, which I cannot advise you guys to subscribe to enough, but Jake Fisher apparently reported earlier today that Nikola Jokic could hold Denver's front office's feet to the fire here. He has watched that team grow kind of stagnant, and he has watched himself get further and further from a championship these last few years. And he might, and it seems as if he's looking at that situation and saying, this sucks. I don't see the future here. And at the very least, especially as all of the reports coming out of Denver are how Stan Kroenke is working really, really hard to duck the tax with a team that was already not good enough to win a championship. Like, you know, if you're Jokic and you've watched this team get worse and get older and grow stagnant, and then you have an owner who's sitting there saying, yeah, you know I have the best player in the history of our franchise, but also I like not paying taxes. If I were Jokic, I would do the same thing and be like, okay, well then you don't get my long-term commitment until you change that tune. So this is one of those situations that, is very volatile. If you're Denver, this is not somebody who I think you want to piss off in this spot. And this is one of those situations that you just know the Lakers are going to very closely monitor. Nikola Jokic is somebody who Luka Doncic has really, really wanted to play with. You watch those guys at All-Star games every year, and they're always fooling around and joking and pranking, and they don't approach the game very seriously together, but they do kind of like to enjoy those moments together. And it has felt like at some point we would start to get some noise about one of those guys considering going to the other guy's team. Or, you know, I guess if you want to do the Heatles thing, you could meet up somewhere and play together or, you know, with some other team that neither of you currently are on. But in this case, if you're the Lakers and you hear some of these rumblings about, Nikola Jokic not exactly being thrilled with the direction that the Denver Nuggets have gone, do you consider kicking the can again, waiting to see whether or not this guy ever becomes available? No, you do not. No, you absolutely do not do that. And the reason that you do not do that is because, as we've learned so far this summer, the best pathway to, you know, flexibility and optionality and all of those keywords that Rob Pelinka likes to use when things are going well and he talks to the public, the only pathway to that, just my opinion here, but it seems to be playing out this way. The only pathway to that is by employing as many good players as you can and having them on movable contracts that other teams are interested in having them on. And I don't think, you know, and also, by the way, it makes you better, you know, in the short term, to the extent that like a player looks over at that situation and is like, dang, they are always competing for championships. That seems like fun. Can I go do that over there with them? And so like the impact of that is twofold. So if I were the Lakers, I would carry out my offseason as I would always carry it out. I would do whatever I possibly can to build out the best roster that I possibly can. And I would do so completely separate of Nikola Jokic, maybe just maybe, you know, becoming available. And so like, I just, this is one of those spots. And by the way, every time one of these superstars become available, it's the same news cycle, right? The player becomes available. He says he wants out, or it's leaked that he wants out, and he's starting to look elsewhere. And the owner looks at multiple offers from some of the teams that this guy would actually sign an extension with. And the owner winds up taking the deal that, you know, helps him compete in the short term while, excuse me, adding picks in the longer term. And that's, by the way, if a player doesn't put their thumb on the scales and force their way to another team, thus allowing that team to get that player for pennies on the dollar. Like, far more often than not, and as we've learned here with the Lakers and Giannis Antetokounmpo, you know, earlier this summer, far more often than not, the owner, with the ego that owner has, says to himself and his team and his fan base, yeah, we're losing maybe the best player that we've ever had, but also we can win. And then they learn like 6 months later when the season starts. Ooh, yeah, that's right. That Giannis guy was pretty good. But if you're the Lakers and Stan Kroenke, who has the kind of ego that Stan Kroenke has, if you're the Lakers and you could, you know, maybe, you know, acquire as many good players as you possibly can on contracts that other teams want, that either gets you the pathway to the draft stash that, you know, might convince Kroenke to get rid of Jokic eventually, that, you know, builds out a trade offer that Denver would maybe take a little bit more seriously, especially if Jokic is making it clear that he is done there. Like, to me, the you know, reaction to this from the Lakers is like, okay, cool, we are focused here, right? Especially, by the way, at a time where you are trying to prove to Luka Doncic that you are worth a long-term commitment from him. You know, and I don't think what the Lakers can do here, I don't think what Rob Pelinka can do here is be like, all right, look, we know that you wanted an A-list center. We know that we have missed out on competing for championships ever since you got here. But what do you think about playing with Nikola Jokic? And if we keep our powder dry, maybe, just maybe, we could turn that powder into Nikola Jokic. I think at that point, that would be such an immense risk that Luka might get frustrated, especially if you don't eventually land Nikola Jokic, as the Lakers didn't land Giannis Antetokounmpo. Like, that is, to me, it seems like the surest path to risking losing Luka for nothing. And so I would probably say, you know, for the Lakers, it's cool that is going on with Denver. You can, you know, I am going to have some fun watching the Denver Nuggets squirm a little bit, but take care of business. Keep the focus, keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing going into this season was building out the best roster that you could this summer, after waiting years for the opportunities that you had supposedly, you know, foreseen this summer. And any other focus is just a distraction. Also, as I mentioned right before we went live, Jonathan Isaac, apparently, you're not apparently or reportedly anymore, the Orlando Magic have now made this official. They waived Jonathan Isaac. He had a partial guarantee on his contract this year, and then he had no guaranteed money for the next couple of years on that contract. So they waived him. Now they waived him outright, which means he gets all of the $8 million and he sits on their books for the $8 million that he was going to sit on their books for, the partial guarantee that he had. But they can apparently bring him back on a minimum contract, and you know, keep him while saving a little bit of money. I don't know to what extent Jonathan Isaac would be interested in that, seeing as this team just waived him and cost him money by waiving him. So, like, if you're the Lakers, look, you know, he's not perfect. He's always hurt. His politics are weird. But like, at the end of the day, like, I think that, like, you know, the point of this summer, or one of the points of the summer, was to get more athletic and to get better defensively and to, you know, to figure some of those aspects of your roster out. But look, if he is ever healthy, or when he is healthy, he does help with some of those things. And if you could get him for like the minimum or slightly above the minimum, you know, that's that there are worse pathways that you could take, especially if you wind up trading DeAndre Ayton, right? Or if, you know, some team knocks Jackson Hayes's socks off with a crazy offer that nobody foresees right now. So yeah, I wouldn't love it. There wouldn't be enough. I would be very nervous all the time about Jonathan Isaac's injury history. Just like, by the way, I would be really nervous about Mitchell Robinson's injury history. But like, one thing that the Dodgers tend to do is they'll like layer injury risks on each other. And the thinking there is that, like, we only need, you know, like with their starting pitchers, they always kind of think to themselves, we only need like three of these or six of these guys healthy at any given time. And if we have a lot of money sitting on our injury list by way of starting pitching, then okay, we will be deep enough organizationally to make up for it, right? Now, you have to have a range of contracts on your books. You have to have, you know, you'll have the Shohei's who make a whole bunch of money, the Blake Snell's and the Tyler Glasnow's who make a lot of money, but then you also have to have prospects who are ready to come up and fill in those gaps just in case, or in the event that those guys get hurt. And that's what the Dodgers have essentially done. And here with Jonathan Isaac, you could, you know, if you sign a Mitchell Robinson to a mid-level exception type number, which is the number that I keep hearing for him, if you sign Mitchell Robinson to a minimum to that mid-level exception, and then you sign this guy, this Jonathan Isaac, to like a minimum contract, and you have Jackson Hayes on a minimum-ish contract, now all of a sudden you have depth in the event that one or two of those guys get hurt. So I would just say, you know, it would be an extreme buy low candidate. This guy at various points was one of the better defensive presences in the league. But whether it's because he likes to do his own research on his injuries or what, he just hasn't been able to stay healthy. And maybe this is one of those spots that Rob Pelinka gambles on pedigree to go out and get the guy who has, you know, maybe his talent has slipped a little bit. And maybe with the Lakers investing as heavily in injury management and in therapies and medicine and stuff to the extent that they are apparently this summer, maybe this is a guy whose you know, gamble you could put your thumb on the scales for a little bit too, and get far more out of him than Orlando has gotten out of him the last few years.